Good morning, everybody, and welcome again. You know, as I look outside, I think about my father, and I always used to ask him, I said, well, Dad, you know, why do we do our shareholders meeting at this time of year? And he said, well, it's the end of the year. And he says, you'll know who your true friends are in February because the weather's usually bad. And so to all of our true friends that are here today, we thank you for coming. This is our 56th annual shareholders meetings, and we do appreciate the opportunity to reflect on what we've accomplished together in the past year. I think to a person in this room and to those that know me, we have tremendous pride in being part of this Northwest Arkansas community and where we started. But we're growing. We're growing as an innovative and sustainable global food company. We're expanding our business in chicken, beef, pork, and turkey while accelerating our house of brand growth such as Tyson, Jimmy Dean, Hillshire, Ballpark, State Farm, Adele's. So if you think about the activities that have happened over the 3 years and our commitment to take our four-legged stool, set a great house of brands on top of it, which improves and enhances our margins, I think we've done a very good job about producing food in a responsible way, from farm to table. We do believe that feeding someone is one of the most honorable things a person can do. We care about our families. We began as a family business. And while we've grown, we still think of our company as a family business. We see our team members, farmers, customers, and communities as part of that extended family. I can tell you I'm excited about the future. I can tell you the leadership team's excited about the future. We've thrived for more than 80 years because we've always been eager to take care of our customers first while looking ahead to the future and to tomorrow. We do dream big around here, and we believe we can take those meaningful steps into the future while staying connected to our past. Today, you're going to hear about our plans, about our vision, and about our resorts from Stuart, our CFO, and from Noel, our president and CEO. But before we get to there, we do have the business part of our business. The bylaws of the company specify that the chairman and the secretary of the company are the chairman and the secretary of our annual meeting. At this time, the chair recognizes Reed Hudson, who will report on the preparations for this meeting. Reed.
Mr. Chairman, all shareholders were sent a notice of annual meeting and proxy on or about December 20th, 2018, which is evidenced by an affidavit from our mail agent. As required by Delaware law, a certified list of shareholders as of the record date of December 10th, 2018 is available for inspection in the lobby. Additional voting cards are available for those who wish to overrule their previous proxy cards or who might wish to vote if they have not already. If you would like a voting card, please raise your hand. The bylaws of the company also provide for a proxy committee of one or more persons designated by the Board of Directors. The Board of Directors has appointed John Tyson and Kevin McNamara as members of the proxy committee. Mr. Chairman, I am reporting at the direction of the proxy committee that of the total possible shares of 365,640,060, as of December 10th, 2018, 324,919,062 shares were voted and represent a quorum at this meeting.
Based upon the report of the company secretary, I hereby declare that this shareholders' meeting has been properly called and we do have a quorum present. And I ask that any questions from shareholders be submitted in writing. If you have a question, raise your hand. We will bring you a notepad. When finished, raise the notepad. We will collect it. And as always, if we can answer the question without research and if time permits, we will do so at this meeting. Otherwise, we will give you a written answer within 7 days. I hereby appoint Don McDonald as Sergeant at Arms and authorize him to appoint deputies to enforce the rules of this meeting, which are in your program. I do need a motion regarding the minutes of the last annual shareholders meeting.
I move that this be waived.
Second. It has been moved and seconded. We waive the reading of the minutes of the 2018 shareholders meeting. All those in favor, please signify by a voice vote of yay.
Yay.
All opposed, nay. The reading of the minutes of the last annual shareholders meeting will be waived. The next item on the order of business is the election of your directors. The nominees are set forth in the proxy statement, and I'd like to introduce the nominees for the ensuing year, ask each one of them to stand, and would you hold your applause to the end? Gordy Bannister, our lead independent director, Dean Banks, Mike Beebe, Michael Durham, Kevin McNamara, Cheryl Miller, Jeff Schomburger, Robert Thurber, Barbara Tyson, Noel White, and myself, John Tyson. Thank you all for helping lead our company. The slate of directors has been nominated as presented. Would the secretary please read the report of the results of the vote regarding the election of your directors?
Mr. Chairman, there were at least 851,831,933 votes cast favoring the election of each nominee presented, representing 91.63% of the votes cast. A clear majority votes for the election of the nominees as directors.
With 91.63% of votes cast favoring the election of the nominees, I do declare the slate of directors elected as nominated. The next item of business is a proposal to ratify the selection of PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP as the company's independent registered public accountant for the fiscal year ending September 28, 2019. And once again, would the secretary please report the results of the vote regarding the ratification?
Mr. Chairman, there were 950,388,244 votes cast favoring ratification of selection of PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP as independent registered public accountant, representing 99.55% of the votes cast. There were 4,280,321 votes cast against ratification, representing 0.44% of the votes cast. A clear majority votes for the ratification of PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP as the company's independent registered public accountant.
With 99.55% of the votes cast for ratification, I declare the selection of PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP as the company's independent registered public accountant ratified. The next item of business is a shareholder proposal concerning corporate lobbying. At this time, the chair recognizes a representative of the proposal to present the proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Tyson. But fellow share owners and members of the board, my name is Tim Nichols, and on behalf of Mercy Investments and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters General Fund, I move item 3 asking our company to report on its state and federal lobbying expenditures, including indirect funding of lobbying through trade associations. Lobbying oversight is a board responsibility, and our proposal asks for a description of board oversight process for lobbying. We find it troubling that our company fails to even disclose whether the board oversees its lobbying. Since 2010, Tyson has spent over $14 million on federal lobbying activities, according to federal disclosure reports, and there is incomplete disclosure about spending at the state level where our company also lobbies. Tyson is required to report its lobbying and already has the information, so it could easily provide more complete information to shareholders. Corporations contribute millions to trade associations that lobby indirectly on their behalf without specific disclosure or accountability. Tyson has previously been identified as a member of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is the largest lobbying group in Washington, spending more than $1.5 billion on lobbying since 1998. And according to his biography, our CEO, Noel White, is a member of the Business Roundtable, which is lobbying against the right of shareholders to file resolutions. And Tyson also serves on the board of the North American Meat Institute. But the company does not disclose its trade association memberships and payments, nor the portions of these payments used for lobbying. So Tyson share owners currently have no way to comprehensively know its trade association memberships, nor the amount of contributions being used to lobby on its behalf. We're deeply concerned that industry lobbying groups' positions on increasing line speed and calling for more self-inspection of containments is contrary to company goals for workplace and consumer safety and health. The ISS supports this proposal, noting that Tyson does not provide a lobbying expenditure policy, does not list its trade association memberships, nor does it disclose its board-level oversight of its direct and indirect lobbying activities. Y'all bear with me. I didn't write this, and it is redundant. So at this time, I'll take the liberty to say we urge shareholders to vote for this proposal. Thank you, Mr. Tyson. Thank you, Board.
And we respect the proposal, but at this time, the Board of Directors' statement with respect to the shareholder proposal was set forth in the proxy statement. It does speak for itself. Would the Secretary please repeat the votes regarding the proposal?
Mr. Chairman, there were 103,798,537 votes cast favoring the shareholder proposal, representing 11.17% of the votes cast. There were 824,879,498 votes cast against the shareholder proposal, representing 88.82% of the votes cast. A clear majority votes against the adoption of this shareholder proposal.
With 88.82% of the votes cast against this shareholder proposal, I declare that this shareholder proposal has been defeated. The next item of business is the shareholder proposal to prepare a report on human rights due diligence. At this time, the chair recognizes a representative of the proposal to present it.
Good morning to all Tyson shareholders, board members, and employees. My name is Gina Filata, and I am here today to move the shareholder proposal filed by the American Baptist Home Mission Society and 10 co-filers from the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility. We have engaged in constructive dialogue with the company for many years on water stewardship and filed this resolution to prompt more robust engagement around Tyson's responsibility to respect human rights. We encourage all shareholders to support this resolution. We are concerned about how Tyson's business activities affect the human dignity of workers, community members, and consumers. For worker health and safety, Tyson's past violations of OSHA standards have included cases of amputation, chemical exposure, failure to compensate workers for time spent donning safety gear, and discrimination. Poultry workers also face increased risks of injury as line speeds increase. For community impacts, nutrient pollution from animal waste and fertilizer runoff threaten communities' rights to access clean water. Failure to comply with standards that impact food safety also pose health risks to consumers. Tyson has a responsibility to address its human rights impacts under the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights. We urge Tyson to be more transparent about its salient human rights risks and processes for mitigating impacts. This requires demonstrating the effectiveness of the Code of Conduct, Team Member Promise, and commitments to land stewardship and worker rights at reducing harm that may result from Tyson's business activities. Historical and ongoing controversy suggests that existing commitments are insufficient to address Tyson's human rights impacts across the value chain. Meaningful stakeholder engagement with affected workers and communities is essential, especially as Tyson seeks to expand its footprint domestically and globally. Failure to conduct effective human rights due diligence has had a negative financial impact on Tyson in the past in the form of fines for regulatory violations, lawsuit settlements, and loss of social license to operate. More robust due diligence can lead to better risk management, prevent business disruption, strengthen brand reputation, and improve employee retention and recruitment. On behalf of the proponents, I again urge all Tyson shareholders to support the Human Rights Due Diligence Resolution and encourage the company to implement the requests of the proposal. Thank you.
We thank you for your proposal and your statement. The Board of Directors' statement with respect to this shareholder proposal is set forth in the proxy statement and speaks for itself. Once again, would the Secretary read the results?
Mr. Chairman, there were 51,208,220 votes cast favoring the shareholder proposal, representing 5.54% of the votes cast. There were 872,950,533 votes cast against the shareholder proposal, representing 94.45% of the votes cast. a clear majority votes against the adoption of this shareholder proposal.
With 94.45% of the votes cast against this shareholder proposal, I declare that this shareholder proposal has been defeated. At this time, it concludes our portion of the business portion of our meeting. There being no further business, do I hear a motion to adjourn? A second. I declare the business portion of the 56th Annual Shareholder Meeting adjourned. Before we move forward with Stuart and Noel, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the great team members here supporting us. Thank you all for being here. The more than 120,000 team members for all they do for our company. To my family that supports me, that's here in the room, I thank you for being here. But our company and our leadership team, led by Noel, has a very sound strategy. We continue to execute on that strategy. We continue to move that forward. But at this time, I'd like to introduce our CFO, Stuart, and he'll share more about our continued growth of this great company. Stuart?
Thank you, John. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to remind everyone that today's remarks include forward-looking statements. I encourage you to go to ir.tyson.com for this morning's earning release and 10Q to review a discussion of the risks that can affect our business. I'll preface my remarks by saying that all references to earnings per share, operating income, and operating margin are on an adjusted basis unless otherwise noted. For reconciliations to U.S. GAAP, please refer to our earnings releases. So we had great news last night, and I hope that you saw. Our company is growing. We reached an agreement to acquire BRF's operations in Thailand and Europe. The purchase will add to our company 4 processing facilities in Thailand, 1 in the United Kingdom, and 1 in the Netherlands. The deal advances our growth strategy by increasing our value-added protein capabilities in global markets. Our acquisition of Keystone Foods gave us a scalable platform in Asia to grow our poultry business, and now, coupled with the BRF facilities, we will strengthen our presence in Thailand's poultry industry to serve this high-growth region. And BRF's assets in the United Kingdom and in the Netherlands will provide new opportunities across Europe. I'm glad to share that bit of news, but my primary role today is to recap our 2018 fiscal year. Earnings were $6.16 per share, up 16%, including 78 cents from tax reform. Sales were $40 billion, and operating income was approximately $3.3 billion, with an operating margin of 8.2%. Operating cash flows for the year were just under $3 billion, which is up about 14% over fiscal 2017. CapEx was $1.2 billion as we continued investing in growth and efficiency projects, with returns expected to be greater than the cost of capital. Including cash of $270 million, our net debt was $9.6 billion, and total liquidity was $1.4 billion as of year-end. For the year, we repurchased approximately 5.9 million shares for $427 million. And in case you missed our report earlier this morning on the first quarter of 2019, EPS was $1.58, which was down 13% compared to last year's record first quarter. Acquisitions and divestitures affected volume and pricing, with volume up 3.3% and average price down 3.7%. Operating income was $841 million, down 11%. Overall, it was a strong quarter with a total company operating margin of 8.3% and operating cash flows of $868 million. We repurchased approximately 1.4 million shares for $83 million. And this morning, we reaffirmed our earnings guidance of $5.75 to $6.10 per share, which is comparable to fiscal 2018 results, excluding the 13 cents generated by the businesses that we divested last year. We're maintaining our capital allocation priorities to pay down debt, deploy cash for organic growth, and to repurchase shares. And soon we'll be in the bond market to fund both the BRF and Keystone acquisitions. We'll continue our trend of dividend growth, and in November, the Board of Directors increased the annual dividend for fiscal 2019. That's worth noting. It currently is expected to be $1.50 for Class A shares, a 25% increase over 2018. 2019 is lining up to be another solid year, although Q2 typically presents some seasonal challenges. We will stay focused on driving growth, integrating acquisitions, generating cash, and creating shareholder value. And finally, it's been just over a year since I came to Tyson Foods. I wanted to be here because I saw a company with a great history in protein production and well on its way to becoming a modern food company for the future. I saw a company focused on value-added and international growth. I saw a company with tremendous opportunities, and I wanted to be part of it. It was right to come here, although I was wrong about the amount of opportunity. There's a lot more than I realized. The people of Tyson have a drive to succeed and a deep belief in our strategy. Our strategy to sustainably feed the world with the fastest growing protein brands. And I've been really energized by the last year I've been at Tyson. A great group of team members, a great company with a very strong future. And now I'd like to introduce the person who's leading us in executing that strategy, our President and CEO, Noel White. Noel?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Good morning, everyone. I, too, believe that our future is very bright. With changing customer needs and consumer tastes, plus new channels and markets, there's never been a more exciting time to work in food. We're committed to building our strong foundation to even better serve our customers and consumers. As Stuart shared, we had a solid year in 2018, even with some of the challenges that we faced. And we're off to a solid start in 2019. As we evolve from a protein producer to a global food company, we're seeing the benefits of our diversified business model. We sell a variety of proteins, chicken, beef, pork, prepared foods, and we serve consumers both at retail and through our food service customers. Those combinations give us balance in our business. As John said, we're doing business the right way, and it's being recognized by others. For the third year in a row, Fortune magazine named us the number one company in the food industry of the world's most admired list. I'm so proud of our team, especially since the rankings are based on attributes such as social responsibility, financial soundness, and global competitiveness. This recognition is a great testament to the work of our 121,000 team members that do their work every single day. Looking ahead, our biggest opportunities for growth are in two pieces. One is our international business, that Stuart spoke about, acquisition we made last night, and in our value-added businesses. Demand for protein is continuing to increase in both developing and established markets, and we're putting ourselves in a place to serve that demand. As an example, acquiring Keystone Foods, as well as the announcement that we made last night with BRF's operations in Thailand and Europe. Add to that the innovation that's happening across our $3 billion brands and our smaller, nimbler brands, and we have a long-term path for growth. At the same time, sustainability will remain at the core of all that we do. We'll continue getting better across our traditional businesses, and making progress on the targets that we outlined last year in 2018. That includes reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 30% by 2030. We'll keep pursuing new opportunities for disruption, such as the investments that we're making through the Tyson Ventures and the work that we're doing to tackle social issues through product innovation and our innovation lab. Doing good is good business, and better yet, it's the right thing to do. That's why we'll also continue to invest in our people by expanding our workforce education program, Upward Academy. Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back to you. I'm glad to be with you today, and I'm also looking forward to joining you in Little Rock tomorrow. It's an exciting day for the Tyson family, as your grandfather and Tyson Foods founder, John W. Tyson, is inducted into the Arkansas Business Hall of Fame, a well-deserved honor.
Well, thanks, Noel. As I look around the room here, and I remember as a young kid coming down here when my dad and granddad would be in their small offices back there, I think granddad would be pretty proud of how far a company he started with a truck and a desire to take care of his family and his community, and especially the way the team members have taken care of the communities where he started and those in need wherever they may be. So I'm looking forward tomorrow to going with my children and my family to say thank you for getting us started, Granddad, because we might have had a job, but it's real nice to have a family business, I can tell you that. So we do care for our team members, and as a result of our efforts in such areas as safety and training, and as well as the life skill program that Noel mentioned too, called Upward Academy, we're seeing more members stay longer with our company. We continue to invest in our communities. We're glad to be back on Emma Street again for this year's shareholder meeting. And we've started to work on our third building here on Emma Street. It's out back. It's called our Tyson Manufacturing Automation Center. And it originally had our truck shop there. TMAC, as the team's calling it, will be a first-of-a-kind facility where we will develop, test robotics, and add automation technology into our business. My father taught me that if we can take a set of activities and enhance the ability to do it in a way that's safer, in a way that allows our team members to manage the equipment and take jobs that are somewhat difficult and transfer them in a way that creates a better experience to produce quality and safety food, we should always do that. And this TMAC Center represents a continuous step in that process. I also want to take time to welcome several new locations to Tyson Foods. This includes the team members and the communities that have joined us through our acquisitions of Keystone Foods, Smart Chicken in Nebraska, American Proteins out of Georgia, expanding poultry operations in Tennessee, distribution centers in Georgia and Pennsylvania, and of course to all of our team members who have joined us from around the world, whether it's in China, Thailand, Australia, the UK, and the Netherlands. We say welcome to the Tyson team. We're also proud of our team's commitment to pitching in when there's help needed. Last year, we provided almost 2 million meals to people in need in the aftermath of two major hurricanes last year. 19 different locations went and participated to help those when those incidences happened. I say that because that's part of living up to our purpose, and it's part of living up to our core values, which call on us to strive to be honorable, to operate with integrity, to be inclusive, to be good stewards of what we've been given, and to provide a safe environment. We have a great company with wonderful folks, from our consumer products group in Chicago, to our fresh meats team in Dakota Dunes, to our international team around the world, and to our poultry team here in Springdale, where it all got started. We're a good company. We do a lot of good things. Each and every day, we step up to try to do the better. That's why we use the word striving. Striving to make a better product, striving to create a better environment, striving to accept the responsibility of all the obligations that have been given to us and all the obligations to create safe food, quality food, sustainable food, and the last word, affordable food. We thank you all for being here today and for the role that you all play in our growth story. Once again, I say thank you. Travel safely, and I do hope to see each and every one next year. Bye-bye.